Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Do you think Gardaí should be sacked if they are unfit? The Garda Representative Association, the GRA, has called for a review of the excessive bleep tests which are used by An Garda Síochána as part of its fitness training for recruits. Now, the bleep test, which sees participants having to run, you know, a 20-metre shuttle runs, I suppose, between two points within a specific period of time. It's like a test to make sure you're fit, I suppose, and you can run a fair distance. 20 metres is not far, really, is it? And it forms part of the force's overall fitness test for trainees, and which also includes, by the way, press-ups, sit-ups, push-ups, pull-ups, and strength tests. There's different tests for male and female. Mind you, allegedly we're the same according to these equality groups, but there is a different test for men and women, the same as there is in the fire department as well. There's different tests for men and women. But it's understood that the Garda was recently dismissed after failing the bleep test, while another 15 officers are now under probation, where they were served with warnings after failing the test on two occasions. Now, the GRA has said that significant numbers of applicants seeking to join the force over the past 2 years had fallen at the final hurdle by failing to meet the bleep test, and accused the Garda of taking a zero-tolerance approach to its own form of testing. And the GRA said the use of the bleep test testing is excessive and results in high stress levels among trainees because of the real threat of dismissal hanging over their heads. Jeepers. God bless them. I mean, really and truly, what are we turning into in this world? The whole idea of this fitness test is to see, are you capable of being a guard? If you fail the test, well, that clearly states you're incapable of being a guard. And I'm sorry, and this is only for the trainees, and mind you, maybe it could be extended to other guards as well. Members on probation who fail the test can retake it a number of times, with most receiving 6 weeks to prepare, said a GRA spokesperson. However, in most cases, if they continue to fail, it would be suggested that they may not be suitable for a career in policing. They may not be. I mean, look, you know, if they've taken the test four or five times and they fail it every single time, it seems like a reasonably easy test, to be honest with you. Well, then clearly they're not suitable for a career in policing. I mean, you're not much use to anybody if you can't run very far, or if you haven't got a reasonable level of strength. I'm not saying I'd probably fail it, but I'm not a guard. You know, no more than if I brought a guard into the studio here and said, OK, I want you to put the radio station on the air and take a few calls and put that onto delay and, you know, switch that over there to that line. He probably wouldn't know how to do it. And even if I gave him a bit of training for maybe 2 weeks, he'll still probably make a mess of it. So, which means he might not be capable, you know, of being a radio presenter. That's just the way it is, isn't it? We all have our own skills. So anyway, the spokesperson underlined that while it was not in the interest of the public to have Gardaí who were not fit enough for the job, the association was concerned about the proportion of people failing the actual bleep test. Can we just call it a fitness test and stop calling it a bleep test? It sounds like a stupid name. Anyway, and nothing else. There are many other elements involved in the fitness test, the GRA spokesman said, adding that the test was more erroneous than they used in other countries, and had been scrapped in Northern Ireland. There is also a question over whether the test is more difficult for women than men, he said. Now, in the UK, the pass level for police bleep tests is 5.4, irrespective of age or gender, while each shuttle run is 15 metres long. In the Republic of Ireland, male Gardaí under 26 must score an 8.8, while female Gardaí under 26, it's 7.6. So, look, women get a bit of a shoe in here, you know what I mean? They don't have to do as well in this particular test. That's what I said to you. It's a different test for women. And each shuttle run is 20 metres long. And different standards apply depending on the age or gender, with pass scores varying from 5.4 to 8.8. The GRA has called for a review of the bleep test, along with the introduction of a structured occupational health and education programme, especially in respect of managing diet and exercise while on shift. Now, look, tonight I want to talk about fitness levels within the force, and ask if you think guards should be sacked if they fail the test. And should the test be carried out and be put through the whole Garda Síochána? Because I know in the UK, the inspectors in the UK has now decided that, you know, guards who are police, let's say, who are with the force many years and who are unfit will be chucked out unless they go out and get fit. Well, like, what's the point in having, you know, a, a 20 stone guard sitting behind a desk all day who can't actually go out on the beat because he's just unhealthy. You know, I remember years ago calling the guards, and don't get me wrong, most guards are probably very fit, but I called the guards because there was a lot of fellas out in the field across the road from my house. Took them about an hour to get there, and this fella arrived in the police car. I kind of had a look out the window because obviously I didn't want the people to know that I was the one who called them. This fella arrived, and they were gone at this stage, by the way, because he arrived late, a bit early. But he got out of the guard car with a cup of coffee in his hand. He had a cup of coffee driving the car in his hand, and he looked like someone's da. You know, the buttons were busting at the seams. I could tell you now, if he had ran into a bit of difficulty with a load of 16 or 17 year olds and ran across the field, he wouldn't have had a chance of catching them. There was no way he's fit enough to be a guard, or certainly to be out chasing criminals. But should he be fired? That's the real question. Should people be fired if they're not fit enough for the job? You know, should they not get into the guards because they're not fit enough for the job? So should Garda have to do a fitness test to stay in the force? If they did it on an ongoing basis throughout their career, you know, every 5 years. Now, obviously, there would be leniency in relation to age, because obviously the older you get, you know, you probably wouldn't be as fit, obviously. So as according to you get older, you know, the score or that you must attain to obviously would become lower as well, which would be fair. So let me ask you a question. Should guards be chucked out, asked to leave politely, if they don't attain a certain fitness level? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Paul, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Paul?
Hi, Niall. It's been a while.
It has, Paul. Where have you been?
I've been around. I've been listening to you for the last while, so.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. So you're still listening in the background, in the shadows, so to speak, Paul?
Of course.
All right, Paul, I mean, I think this is a pretty basic question. I mean, realistically, I mean, you can't be a guard if you're not fit, can you?
No. And the same would apply to somebody in the fire brigade, because I myself did it some years ago. I did a bit of a test for the civil defence for the auxiliary.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And
what was the test? What did you have to do? Like run up and down push-ups?
What you had to do was you had to carry a hose from one end of the compound to the other and back.
Yeah, and they're quite heavy. Yeah.
They are. I didn't realise how heavy they were.
Oh, they are very heavy, yeah.
They're made of cork, of course.
I know in the fire brigade, I don't know whether it's still the same. Years ago, mates of mine joined the fire brigade and they had to carry someone on their shoulder. They had to run with someone over their shoulder for 200 yards or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, now I don't know whether that's still the case or not.
I think it would. It probably would be. Mm. You know, they have to do the fireman's lift anyway. Right? Yeah. Like, for people who are going to be in the general fire brigade, anybody.
Yeah.
But like, anyway, I mean, that's, you know, they normally join when they're 21 or so, and they're past if they do all the fitness tests and everything else, but they have to retire at 50.
Yeah. So, I mean, what happens if, you know, or should there be ongoing tests? Now, we were seeing clearly that guards are having problems doing at trainee level, right? Where 15 guards are now, you know, under probation. They were served with warnings for failing it on the test on two occasions, right? There obviously should be a limit to how many occasions you can try it out, right? But in saying that, should it be ongoing? So, like, when a guard is there 10 years, should there be, like, every 5 years a little test? But now, obviously, as age goes on, you would reduce the requirement, you know?
Yeah, it should to make sure that they're still at a reasonable fit level for the job. But having said that, if I don't think it's fair to sack somebody as such, maybe if there's enough people within the guards who are fit enough to be out on the beat and can do that and bring people into custody when need to be, well, then that's reasonable. But to actually sack somebody, I don't think I don't think that should be the case. What they should do is give them maybe a desk job or some other.
So move them to admin.
Something else within the force.
Right, okay. Well, I suppose if you're a detective or something like that, maybe I have grand delusions of what a detective does. He sits there working things out all day with boards. Maybe that kind of thing would be more suitable.
Well, detectives in that, they're kind of like, they don't really, unless they really have to, go unless they have to run after somebody. Or if they're short, or if they need...
Yeah, well, see, there's another thing. The qualifications for being a guard have changed immensely over the years, right?
Yeah.
Particularly in relation to equality, right? Because obviously they had to reduce the height because many people couldn't get in because they were too bloody small. I could have never joined the guards because when I was a young fella, to join the guards, you had to be, I think it was 5'9" as a male and 5'6" as a woman, I think it was, or something like that.
Yeah, I saw somebody recently who was around my height. Who was in the guards. Now, I know I'm too small for them, but... I mean,
yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing. I saw a girl driving a car the other day, you know, and I'm sure she's a great guard and everything, but I couldn't see her over the steering wheel. You know what I mean? So, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, what use would she be at the scene of a crime, or he, if he was that height, would they be at the scene of a crime, you know, where they, you know, some burly mental lad, you know, wants to take them on? You know, I don't, maybe, are we reducing it a little bit too much? This whole idea that they're saying, the GRA is saying the guards are stressed because of this test. God love them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose, well, I mean, I've always said before, even, it doesn't really matter how good you are at your job. You should really, I mean, say like if, or somebody in a car, just like an airline pilot, should sit the test in a simulator again, just to make sure that they're still up to scratch.
Well, airline pilots go through very rigorous testing on an ongoing basis. Yeah, I mean, if you have a heart condition, for example, or you develop a heart condition, you've lost your job.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be flying anymore.
No.
Or, you know, or you have a problem with your eyesight or visual impairment of some description, you lose your job.
Hearing.
So, I mean, yeah, or your hearing, you're going to lose your job. So, I mean, it's very important. But yet, in the guards, it seems to be, it doesn't really matter what happens to you. You can hang on to that job.
Yeah.
It's a job for life.
Absolutely.
As they say. Well, stay there for a second because Ken, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Ken?
Oh, hi, Niall.
Hey, are we pampering these young guards, Ken? I know we're desperate to get guards into the force and nobody really wants to join anymore for some reason, but are we pampering them just to get them in?
I say so, yeah.
You know, that they said the test is excessive and they said that there's high stress levels among trainees.
I think, as you know, we haven't spoken out for ages. I've been mad busy. Just with back to school and all that, you know, because it was very busy time. No, as you know, I lived two decades in Italy. And if you compare the Italian police force to the Irish police force, they're like Keystone Cops over here in every sense, you know, their fitness.
Yeah.
I don't even think the way that the uniforms are made is what they wear. If they have to chase somebody, if they have to get into a fight with someone, defend themselves, etc., what they wear is so, it's encumbrant, isn't it?
Incapacitating.
But it's also incumbent on movement. You know.
So yes, I get what you mean. Yeah,
Abroad, police are wearing much kind of sportier clothes.
Well, in fairness, they've got the weather for it too. You know, I mean, I know a lot of countries that wear shorts and sort of stuff. Yeah.
Northern Italy now is freezing in the winter. You know, it's up to -10. But there's so many differences compared, and also their attitude. Now, I'm not going to go into it because that's not what we're talking about. But I don't think it's fair to say to someone that you're fired. I don't think that's fair, as much as I don't like the Gardaí, to be honest. I don't have much affection for them. But I would say 6 months, this is your, whatever you have to, the goal you have to reach in 6 months' time.
A fitness level,
And if you haven't reached it, then, and if they know that, you can't just turn around to someone and say, you know, you're sacked. Because it's the hierarchy of the Gardaí who've allowed it to become what's become. It's not the fault of the guards that are there. But no, I will tell you something. This will make you laugh because I remember about obesity and everything you were giving out about parents and their children and, you know, watching them stuff their mouths with rubbish and all the rest of it. In my local Gardaí station, in my little area of Dublin, the guards basically, you see their cars parked permanently outside Romeo's. Fish and chip shop. And they're inside stuffing their faces with fish and chips and burgers and chips and
Yeah.
And, you know, so that doesn't really look
great. The funniest thing I saw was one summer's day. There was four guards sitting in a car in swords outside the Spar shop who have an ice cream machine. And they all sat there. All four of them were sitting there with four. They had a 99 each. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. The four of them sitting there with a. I should have took a picture, but it was just so funny to see them on a summer's day sitting eating their 99s.
Oh, no,
but look, nobody's going to deny them a little luxury now and again. But okay, but should that be ongoing, by the way, Ken? So let's say you pass the test, you get into the guards, great, you're fit, wonderful.
Yeah. Well,
and then in 5 years'
the
time. Yeah, should it be an ongoing thing that in 5 years' time, you do it again?
They're the ones who harass us to make sure our cars have NCTs on them. So that's every 2 years if you have a car of a certain age. So or every year, is it?
Yeah, well, depending on the car, yeah.
Yeah, so definitely I'd say 5 years for a human body to keep yourself in shape. But you know, I don't know what other people do think, but I find I have no faith in the Gardaí. If there's a serious problem, trouble, whatever. Because first of all, in my area anyway, which is an area where there's generally no trouble, but when you make an emergency call, it's an hour before a Gardaí car turns.
And how far is the nearest station?
It's about 400 metres.
Right, okay.
And I'm not joking.
You'd be quicker bringing the criminal down yourself, really, wouldn't you?
Well, that's generally, and you know, I'd say in more around here, I would actually tend to go and look after my own situation if I had to. Most people around here wouldn't.
Yeah.
But the guards, no, they're used, like in that sense. But I'd have no faith in them anyway, because you see them in action and knowing what they're like abroad.
I mean, I know you described them as the Keystone Cops, right? Mm. And in some sense, yes, I believe so. But I think a lot of that is to do with the resources they have as well, in comparison to other countries.
We're supposed to be this rich country. This is what makes me laugh.
Mm.
Everybody goes on about how wealthy Ireland is and we've only got 5% unemployment and all. Well, the police force should be rolling in. I've been saying for years.
Yeah, but that's not the men and women on the front lines' fault. When you see, for example, that a police station might only have two cars to share among 50 guards.
Yeah, I totally that's what I said to you before.
That's
it's
ridiculous.
Hierarchy.
Yeah,
and it is a job for life. I know useless police from back when I was 1990. Useless police who used to harass me, and one of them now. Then the last I heard of him, he was the superintendent down in Ringsend, and then I'm sure he's gone on to be other higher things. Or retired by now, and during the Celtic Tiger, they were all buying 2-3 houses and renting them out. And, you know, it was a bit of a life of Riley for them. But the fact is, when you see their ineffectiveness, and all the other countries in Europe also have a police force and a military police force.
I'm asking you to find it there, but I do remember vaguely a story from about 2 years ago where an inspector in London, I think it was, in the Metropolitan, said that they were going to be looking at police officers who were obese or, you know, who basically had, you know, a high, you know, BMA or BMI. Mm. And that they basically were going to be warned, listen, go get yourself fit or you're out of the force.
Yeah. Well, I think that the easiest kind of way, if you wanted to realise where the chasm is such between us. And
I know you're saying, by the way, don't get rid of them, by the way. And I understand the logic behind that. It might seem unfair, but in most of the jobs of importance, if you weren't fit for the job, you would be shafted.
They're not fit for the job, because if you look at go onto YouTube, and if you just put, because I'm just first hand with this, and you put Italian police versus Antifa, and if you see how the Italian police are, and if you thought of the Irish police doing that, you couldn't imagine it.
But I watched the American police the other day in New York taking down Antifa. It was in Manhattan, and Antifa had blocked a road. And the squad arrived with a few shields and what have you. And you want to see them take them down. There was just no messing. I can't imagine the Irish guards doing that. Now, I found the story here, by the way. It's in the Telegraph in 2015. Sir Bernard Hogan Howe says the annual fitness tests are too easy and are failing to weed out the overweight officers. He said, he went on to say he's the commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, and he has warned fat officers there is no place on the force for you.
Exactly.
You know, and he basically says, Britain's most senior policeman said, when the public and other officers called for help, they did not expect someone to come waddling down the road and out of breath.
Yeah, exactly.
So they've got a point, haven't they?
Well, they have. And the other thing that's wrong with the hierarchy of our police force is that the Gardaí are not supposed, you can correct me, by law, they're not allowed to have any sort of political agenda.
Well, yeah, well, that's been broken a few times.
That's been broken a lot of times.
Yeah.
Now, in Italy, if you saw the police dancing down a Pride march, there'd be uproar. And if you had the Italian police car...
Yeah, and I know, I've no problem with Pride and all that kind of stuff, right, and LGBT, but LGBT is a political movement. And I think it was wrong. I think it was an error of judgment for the guards to get involved in it. I'm not disagreeing with Pride, and if you want to have your Pride parade, that's great. I support it and everything else. But I think getting the guards involved, I think, was completely and utterly wrong.
Going back to what I was saying...
They should be impartial.
Every other country has military police. We don't. And
we have the special task force.
Yeah, but we also have an army that does nothing.
But there is military police. There is MPs in this country.
Well, then it's not like in Italy. There's a
No, that's because we don't have an active army.
You actually have a choice in Italy. When you're being robbed, you can either ring 112 for the police or 113 for the Carabinieri, who are military police. They work together as such.
Right, but can the Carabinieri, the military police, deal with civilian situations?
Oh, absolutely. They're the same as police.
Oh, okay, all right, okay.
They are the same, only that they also get sent abroad on mission.
But I don't but the Irish military police wouldn't have the same powers, no more than, it'd be like calling the airport police.
No.
Remember years ago? I was stopped on the back roads of the airport by the airport police one day. And I told him, who do you think you are? Would you go away from me? But because they don't have any power, they're essentially security guards, with the greatest respect to them. I mean, great men and women who do a wonderful job securing the airport, that's their job. But they don't have the same power as the police. As far as I know, and there is a police station in the airport, if they want to arrest somebody, they have to call the police.
That's right, correct.
All right, well, let me go to Jude. Jude, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Jude?
Not too bad at all, Niall.
I know there was the commissioner in the UK said they should be shafted, you know, if they come waddling down the street out of breath. And now you've got the GRA saying the tests, the bleep tests as they call it, or the fitness tests as was probably known better as, is too excessive and it results in high stress levels among trainees. You know, I mean, should there be an ongoing fitness test for the Garda?
Of course there should, because a taxpayer and the country should have a first-class police force. They should. They should be fit, physically fit. And to say resources have nothing got to do with fitness, those people, those recruits who are failing that test, it has nothing got to do with the money available to the police force.
No, that was in reference to the comment that Ken was making about having the Keystone Cops.
It has nothing. Police forces should be fit for purpose and should be physically fit. Like, if you or your colleagues there, your staff, weren't fit or weren't good at having broadcasting skills, you wouldn't be doing your job at the moment. Just like a plumber. If a plumber is not fit to do his job, you wouldn't have him.
No, if he was getting a few leaks every now and again, he'd be out of a job very quickly, yeah.
Sure, if a doctor was unfit, you wouldn't want him cutting you open. Police force should be fit. Look, I noticed this when I was over in Poland, especially Poland. The police force over there are huge and they're fit. They look like Spetsnaz. They're massive and they're really huge and they're fit. You know that they're really fit. Irish police force, there are very fit people in it. I'm sure there are. But we shouldn't be having the lessening the or lowering the bar.
We did lower the
benchmark.
Bar.
Yeah, but for people who are physically unfit. Now, I know you have to lower the bar for things like height, and I can understand those.
Can you understand why we had to lower it so low? I mean, there is no height restriction now, right? But can you understand why I know why we did it. It was political correctness and trying to encourage more women.
And it was to get people into it. But why should we be getting people that are unfit too?
Because it didn't see the problem
just
is
to make up the numbers.
I know. Well, the problem with numbers in this country is we have a small population of people, you know, overall, in the big scheme of things, 5 million people now at this stage, but it was a small enough population. And it's difficult to get people to want to join the guards. That's why they keep lowering the bar, I suppose.
So that's why we should have an unfit police force that are not physically fit to do the job because of that.
Well, there's no suggestion that they're not all fit, but there clearly is guards who are not fit.
Yeah, so we should just settle. If you're not fit to do the job, you shouldn't be doing. That's why these tests are there. Because if we could, you know what, forget about doing any tests. Just employ anyone.
But our army lads are the fittest. Like, if we put our army lads in there, and they don't...
Because it's Irish army, they settle for unfit people there, and that's okay, the army, that's great, you can put up with that if they have no powers of arrest. But the police force should be physically fit, and they should be passing this test. That's why these tests...
And should the test be carried out throughout their career? Oh, I've lost you again there. I'll come back to it in a second. Darren, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Darren?
How are you doing, Oil?
Darren, I mean, they are this kind of bleep test, as they call it. At the moment, it's only for recruits, right?
Yeah.
There's two questions. Should we continue to do it throughout their career? And, you know, should they lose their jobs if they continually fail it?
No, they shouldn't lose their jobs. It's like I was saying to your reporter there. Like, if you're an alcoholic and work, right, you have to give them time to get yourself together. They should be put on a training regime. Don't sack them. There's a lot of...
No, and I'm not what he was saying, sack them immediately, but if somebody is consistently overweight and unfit and not passing the test...
Well, you can put them in an office job. Or a community guard.
Well, we can get civil servants to do that work.
We want them on the street.
What's that?
The police force should be on the street, not doing secretary or temp work. Because
there's loads of police there don't work out there, right? But the point being... Why is there a shortage
of numbers in the force if you said there's loads of police out there doing that?
Well, you're just on looking for an argument, darling.
It's a debate. It's a debate.
Listen to me, empty head, for a minute.
I'm not an empty head. Don't assume that.
Look, the thing is, right, the police have a hard enough job out there as it is, right?
So we make it easier for them to get into
you see what they do. Look at the Irish Army. There's lots of fat people in the Irish Army. Like my brother's in the Army, and he's 18 stone.
Yeah, they're settling for that in the Army, but why should they settle for it in the police force?
But now, in fairness to your brother, the Irish Army are never going to be running up the beaches of Dunkirk. You know what I mean?
Listen to me for a minute. They have to go off with all these vans and take all these armoured vans and go follow them. So what if something happens there? It's the same thing there, Luke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but with the greatest respect to the Army, and you know, I know they're not being paid enough for what they do and all that kind of thing, and that would probably help to encourage younger people into it. But, it's not the same job. We're talking about protection of the citizens of the country. The Army generally are not in the business of protection.
We don't think they should be fired, all right? You know, they should be given...
So at what point do you turn around? If you've given someone time, and by the way, they do give them 6 weeks, right? You know, to try the test again, and if they fail it again, they give them another 6 weeks. So there's a point where they are, as he says here, they may not be suitable for a career in policing. Is there a point where you say, listen, this career just doesn't suit you, pal?
So if somebody's in the police force for 20-odd years, right, and they get this test in the middle of 20 years, obviously someone can't keep up the actual fitness over all that time. It's very, very difficult for anyone to do it. Even an athlete, age catches up on everyone.
Yeah, but nobody is saying that somebody who's in 20 years has to run 20 miles. It would be, it's an average fitness test.
They should be able to run, though.
Come here, I tell you, the police can run like hell around here. I've seen a fella who got into the back of a van, took your man's stuff, cycle up the road on a push bike, and your man was going, and you want to see the speed of this copper going after him. Now, I mean...
He was like Steve Austin, was he?
Your man was like Steve Austin, cycled up the road, and he caught him.
Steve Austin.
I don't think it's a wash with guards like that.
Well, you have to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but with the greatest respect, Darren, I think Ken was making a point there. You don't see too many guards in that physical shape.
Well, no, in fairness, I walk in Tala, right? And I swear to God, you see the police walking down that Tala area around the square now, and there's not too, I haven't seen too many fat coppers walking down there.
Well, it's not just ones who might be, overweight. Some people can be just normal weight. Like I wouldn't consider myself hugely physically fit, but the job doesn't require me to be doing push-ups.
Yeah, but it encourages the talk on the radio, so you lose weight with your mouth.
I've lost weight. I have to exercise my facial muscles on a regular basis.
But that's what it is. You're talking on the radio, so it doesn't look it. I tell you straight now, I believe they have a hardest job in the world, dealing with all these scrofags, criminals, crackheads and all sorts of weirdos. But, people are saying, sack them.
No, I'm not saying sack them. Sorry, Kenya, sorry, you want to say something?
I was just saying, the first chap that came on, the points he made, every point he made, in my opinion, was correct.
Jude, yeah.
Yeah, I think...
Empty head.
Jude just based today. He's been on loads of them. He's not a rocker, that fella.
It's time with a lot of things.
The police should employ you, you know that.
Who are you talking to, Jude?
Your man who called me a space kid because he seems to be such a good person at personally profiling people. He doesn't even know me or meet me. Maybe he could help them with their crime rate.
I'd be a deadly police officer. I'd be undercover, man. I'd be deadly.
We're having the same conversation in this country about the employees of RTE, for example, who aren't fit to do what they're getting paid for. The guards are well paid. But for what they're paid, if they can't do the job right, yes, there should be the test. And if they can't pass the test, they're not qualified to do the job. And that is to defend us.
Would you go out there and protect somebody with a crackhead, with a knife, a machete, or a gun, or anything like that? Yeah, these people have to go into war zones here, right? The stuff they have to see is unreal.
War zones? Rewind that. You say war zones.
War zones.
So these are declared, actually declared war zones.
Well, did you not see over the last few years, all the trouble over the last few years? No, you're not seeing that?
No war zone in Ireland.
There's no war zone. There hasn't been for the last, since 2016, there's been no war zone.
No, well, I wouldn't actually call it a war zone, but there are certainly dangerous places, Jude. I mean, when you go into the city centre, for example, where there have been a number of murders and high-profile killings.
Yeah. All cities have dangerous places, but nearly all cities have a police force.
Well, come here, if you look at, you were talking about Poland earlier on, that's because they're all on the juice, man. You see the size of them? Big tanks. They're all on steroids.
There's profiling again. Absolutely. He hasn't even met these people.
It would be fair. I mean, that's another point you made, Ken, as well, about the police abroad, right? You know, and it certainly wouldn't be racist to suggest that people from particularly Eastern European countries, men from Eastern European countries, are probably better built than the average Irish man. So, I mean, that's in their DNA anyway.
I mentioned the Italians, and the Italians are actually the most tranquil people in Europe, I'd say. They don't like fighting, they don't like violence. Yes, their police, when they have to get tough, believe me, they get very, very tough. They're not massive,
the German police
but they're incredibly fit. And what's more is everything else about them is better. They're driving training,
language skills.
They're like, exactly.
And, they don't say vehicle.
And the public have a really good relationship with them, which here they don't.
Well, so they also have a healthy respect or fear of them as well.
Absolutely. That's what they have. They have respect. They have, there's been march now over the last few months to do with Matteo Salvini, the politician over there, who wants to take full power of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And all he speaks about is to respect the police force, and everybody cheers him, respect the armed forces, respect anything to do with the country. There's no respect for the police. Like I said to you, maybe up in Tala they'll respond quicker, I'm not sure. But
there's probably more of them in Tala, in fair. It's a big Garda station up there. It's probably the biggest in the country, the one in Tala. But okay, but the real question here is, right, similar to what the Commissioner said in the UK, is if you have a situation where there's a guard, female or male, by the way, because somebody mentions, by the way, there was a female guard, I'm not going to say what area it's in, might be a dead giveaway, and he said, I've never seen anything so big in all my life. She certainly couldn't run 10 yards, don't mind 10 miles. Okay, but look, yes, and there are, I'm sure, guards who are unfit. But in the UK, they're saying that if they're unfit, they'll lose their job. So you guys are saying, well, that may be the case, Ken. I know you didn't directly say that, but you did. Darren says, no, keep them on anyway. Let me go to Peter as well. Peter, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Peter?
How are you doing?
Good. Peter, you believe don't get rid of the unfit guards?
No, stick them behind the desk and get the fit guards.
James, there'll be a lot of them behind the desk at this stage of the conversation. Now, I mean,
only Peter agrees with me.
And
they'll
be a lot,
you're just giving them an easy way out. You're just giving them an easy way out.
No, well,
it'd be great if all private sector jobs were like that. You know, it's not like that in the private sector. You don't get a second chance. In the public sector, it's like all the civil service. Just something you're losing. They can do fuck all. And
well, hang on. Let Peter finish. Sorry, Peter. But go on.
Yeah. No, we need more police out on the streets. And I've been to police stations. You know, when you're getting your passport. Pictures done, or a driver's license, or some sort
of that.
ID
see, that done. Nonsense shouldn't be done by the police. But go on, yeah.
Exactly, and there's two or three guards there that fit as a fiddle that could be out on the street.
I agree, they did try to rectify that going back a couple of years ago when they brought in civilians to do the admin work for the Garda Síochána, and we did have one of them on the air recently, and she said the resentment was unbelievable. The guards didn't want them there because it done away with the cushy numbers for the guards.
Exactly. You don't want to be out in the streets doing all the dodgy work. Do you want to be behind closed
doors? Well, then why are you suggesting that we put them behind a desk? Surely that's not going to encourage them to get fit. They'll say, Asher, look, if I fail the test a few times, it'd be grand. I'll just sit at my desk all day.
And what happens if we
get them in the gym?
Half the force because they're all on...
Unfit?
Out in Blanchestown.
They're all on what?
They're all on the... What's it called that? Donut place in Blanche.
Which?
Oh, the donut place in
Blanche. Oh, the donut, Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay, but, I mean, Jude, there you go, you listen to Peter, he says don't get rid of them, you know, that wouldn't be fair.
So we just settle, that's it, we shouldn't, the taxpayers are paying for these people to do a job that they're not able to, so we just settle. The taxpayers' money should just go on settling for, not even second best, but just settling for a big bag of arses, seriously.
But we can't get anybody. The police force, the moral is pure law, there's not many people wanting to be policemen anymore. The government should do whatever they can to get the best police force possible.
Even if a lot of them are unfit.
It isn't the best peace force possible. It isn't the best peace force possible if you're lowering the bar so much just to get someone in to make up the numbers. That isn't the best possible.
Well, they should do this at the start at training. They should be getting fit and doing all that, and then they should be maintaining fitness throughout. Gone was the day when we used to have a guard in Blanche called Nappy because the size of the fella was unreal.
Nappy? You know, why do they call him Nappy?
Because he looked like he wore a nappy.
All right. But, I mean, due to the point, we're lowering the bar. I mean, you got these GRA saying now that the fitness test for the recruits is too excessive and that the result is that the recruits have high levels of stress because there's a real threat of dismissal hanging over them if they don't get it. But that's the same as it is with every job that you go into. You do the training. If you don't pass the training, you don't get the job because you have to be a certain level.
And if you're fit, stress shouldn't bother you.
No.
Oh, you understand completely, but there's other parts of and other aspects of being a policeman in this country as well.
Like what?
The fact that you the stuff that you come up against on a daily basis.
But why can't it be fit to do it? Why can't it be keen to do it? Why do you have to face it being fat?
Sorry?
Why can't they face it being keen, not fat? All the problems they have to deal with.
That's what I'm saying. They should be facing a fit. But if we can't replace an unfit one with a fit one,
I don't think it's that bad at the moment, Jude. I don't think it's that bad. Sorry, you wanted to say something there?
Yeah, we're not like America. Put gyms in the police station, all. Get them all working there. When they come in before their shift, they can walk out before their shift, do what they have to do. All the Americans do that.
But a gym in the police station?
Yeah. Well, all the
They can't even afford a car, most police stations. And you want to put a gym in?
Yeah. Hold on.
Sorry, Ken.
No, I'm just, you're saying about putting in the gyms, but I go back to the point about us being a so-called rich country. For how long are we going to accept? First of all, the government's as bad as the police. But we don't have the money for hospitals. We don't have the money for houses. We don't have the money for schools. And now we don't have the money to have a proper defence force, police force.
Yeah.
It's laughable.
That's
because
they're
spending
all the appeal for Apple.
So, don't you bring up the Apple story.
Well, that's what they're doing. They're spending all the money on the appeal for them. That's what
we
have,
no. By the way, you do know the story on the Apple money. Everybody brings up, every time money is mentioned, everybody mentions, if we only got that money from Apple. Right?
That's not our money.
It's not our money.
No, I'm not saying that.
Darren.
Our government is appealing the thing.
Well, of course it is. But hang on. The reason our government is appealing it is because we want to be friends with Apple. Because at the end of the day, they bring a huge amount of money into Ireland, a huge amount of employment. And even though they might not pay enough tax, they pay a shitload of tax.
I'm sure there's a lot of backhanders going around somewhere. So here, you sort him out. We'll sort him out. We'll make this disappear like everything else. And we'll just up the taxes in the country for the children's hospital. And we'll stick James in the garden saying it's no use because he have one in the doll. And
some
fat peckers in the doll.
No, but then we have politicians falling off swings looking for 80 grand.
But I tell you what, I mean, he's got a point about the gym. We can afford a gym for prisoners. Why can't we give one to the guards?
There's no one in the doll that's never used.
There's one in the doll. It's a massive one in the doll and it's cost a bomb. Should they only put a tender out for recently for new equipment? I don't know who's using it. I didn't see Matty McGrath there recently.
Yeah, they put a tender out for it and somebody are going to go, well, this is Billy. Billy's from down the road there and he's one of my constituents and it'll turn out to be related to someone and it'll turn out that somebody else put the money in the app. We've decided, but he got it because they're buddies.
Right, okay. All right, listen, I've got to take a break. Stay there, lads, okay? Keep texting. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Okay, it is turned into a bit of a laugh. And he's got a point, by the way, in relation to gyms. If we can't afford a Garda car, we're hardly going to afford a gym for a Garda station. Keep texting. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Let me know. Question I want to know is, should guards be subjected to a fitness test throughout their careers on Garda Síochán? Because at the moment they're whining about the fitness test they have to do as recruits, just in case they fail it on numerous occasions and maybe not get into the guards. Should they be required to do a fitness test? The UK, they're required to do one, and they've already said, the chief of police over there has said, Bernard Hogan, who is the commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, and I like what he said here. He said that the public, when they call the police, they expect someone to come. They don't expect someone to come waddling down the road and out of breath And he said if officers continue to be like that and fail their annual fitness test, they will be fired from the force. And, well, ironically enough, I suppose I wouldn't feel too good. The picture they used in the Telegraph was two police officers walking down the road. And they're fairly hefty looking. In fairness, I think both of them would be waddling down the road out of breath, to be honest with you, if anything happened. So I'd say those two are probably thinking to themselves, why did they use a picture of us two at this story? At some point, if a guard is not fit, should he be out of the force? Jude agrees that he should. Darren says absolutely not, under no circumstances, because Darren, according to Jude, is willing to take second best. His opinion, just because you don't like his opinion, is it?
You hear all these things in the radio, though, James, every day of the week and all. You do this, you do that. We're not just saying to them, Roy, we have a discount here for you. We're not just all corns, they're all...
They probably do. I don't know, but they probably do. I know they get a discount on car insurance and stuff like that, so, and they have their own health insurance. That they get a discount
on
as well.
It's not good for them if they're all fat and overweight, like you're saying, is it?
Well, who said they were all fat and overweight?
Well, you were saying that in England they're all fat and overweight.
I didn't say that at all. You're one of these typical listeners. Nobody actually said that.
No, you were saying in England if they...
If they fail their test,
you should bring it in over here, basically, is what you're
saying. Yeah, in England they have a yearly test, and if they continue to fail it and they're overweight, the police commissioner of the Metropolitan Police said they're out the gate. Bye-bye.
Yeah, well, come here, look, the English are mad anyway, you know what I mean? They're
That's just because the English are mad, right,
all
right.
They're all golf balls, the whole lot of them.
I mean, Peter, what do you think of the English method? A yearly test, and if you continue to fail it on a regular basis, now you will be assisted, obviously, but if you continue to fail it, that you're out the door.
Well, we usually follow England with all our stuff. Like, we see all the prison trucks and the prison cars and all that. They come from England. We get England's used stuff.
Well, we get their sloppy seconds. We get all their seconds, do we?
I hope we don't get their seconds on their police officers.
Well, there's a couple of English police officers over here already.
Is there?
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, there's many foreign police officers here now already, by the way.
Well, I was at a house there a few weeks ago, and a fella from London was an English police officer that was over here.
I've dealt with both. I remember one day there was a Polish chap I dealt with, and I dealt with another girl. She was Chinese. What's the problem there?
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying they come from over there. They come from here, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, they might necessarily be coming from, you know, they could be born here as well.
No, your man actually moved that way because he didn't like the English police force.
Oh, right, okay. He didn't like the English police force. Well, yeah. I would have thought the English police force is probably better than the Irish one, to be honest with you.
No, in all seriousness, though.
Yeah.
There really has to be something about the police in the country. Whether they give them incentives, get fit, and we'll give you more pay, or whatever they need to do to get a better...
Why would you have to pay them to do their job? When I say pay them more, you know what I mean? To do the actual job they're getting paid for.
Aren't they on buttons starting off?
No, but every job you're on buttons when you start off.
Yeah, but every...
That story is grossly exaggerated. If you look at what guards are getting, because obviously they're public servants. And by the way, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't think it would ever be enough. I wouldn't want to be a guard because you're putting your life in your hands, you know, or in somebody else's hands every single day of the week. You're risking your life. It wouldn't be my idea of a job.
Where you grew up and all. Imagine having to do that.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. And that's why I wouldn't be a guard. I'm not willing to risk my life. Although in saying that, some of the stuff I said in this radio station have probably risked my life. But in saying that, I wouldn't go out in the streets, you know, because it's not for me. But, and fair play to them for doing it. But some of them are, like, once they're well in there and, they're in there a few years, they're reasonably well paid.
Yeah.
You know, they're not on buttons.
At the start, they are. But no more than...
Well, every single job here, every single job. I mean, most jobs you don't get paid for the first 4 years, you're in college.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So every single job you're on, same with a trainee nurse, or you're on buttons when you start for the first few years.
Yeah, teachers. But they're definitely not starving.
What? What'd you say, Jude?
I said they're definitely not starving, so there's no problem there with the money.
No, they're not emaciated.
How many are like on that?
I don't know how many are unfit because I don't believe we do an ongoing test. They were talking about these bleep tests are only for trainees at the moment. You know,
well, the height test is gone, isn't it? That's out the window.
The which? The height test, that's the gone, height. Yeah. Yeah.
I seen the 4 foot copper there the other day. It was like Janie Mack, poor policeman.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've seen some police, like, they look fit and they look like they're ready for the job, but I've seen other ones that you'd say, Jesus Christ, I just hope they never get involved in a row. Yeah. They'd be lifted up and thrown over the lifty wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but in all fairness, I think they still do what they used to do back in the day. And if you have a big boy, he gets sent out into a little hick town where there's only one copper, and he knows everyone's cat and dog. And then they send all the big boys to the big police stations around the place.
Right. Okay. Well, let me go to I think it's Ramonas. Is it Ramonas? Is that how you pronounce your name?
P7. Okay.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, is it Ramonas?
Yes, that's this Ramonas. How are you, Diane?
How are you doing? All right, where are you from, Ramonas?
I'm from Cameroon.
Oh, okay. And what's the police force like over there?
There is it's chaos.
Chaos, I can imagine. Yeah, I can imagine, yeah. Give me 50 quid or I'll beat you up.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. It's corrupt.
Yeah, very.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, look, I mean, you've experienced the Irish police, and do you think they're fit for the job?
I wouldn't say they're not fit. They are fit, but we need to make them fit if we feel they are not fit.
Right.
Just like any other job that you need somebody to be qualified before being in that job. If they're not fit, then there's no purpose. They're not suitable for the purpose.
No, this is my argument. What's the point in having them there? They're running a risk to themselves as well.
Yes. So my point is, we should...
We should what? Oh, I've lost... That was really important. Are you still there? We've lost him. Are you there, Ramonas? No, he's gone. He's gone. We'll try and get him back again. Maybe we'll ring him straight.
It could have been a Martin Luther King moment.
It could have been a moment where we had this great revelation. I think Ramona's had an epiphany there, and we're never going to know what it was, which is really upsetting me now. I actually think we'll get him back anyway. Okay, because obviously he comes from a country. I mean, in one sense, Jude, I know you talk about Keystone Cops, right, and so that. We are lucky when you look at a lot of countries around the world, like Cameroon, like, you know, even Poland, for example, where, you know, the police are quite corrupt.
Oh, there is, and just so we even only have a bit down in Munster, there's an investigation going on at the moment down in Munster over the police force down here with the parking tickets and the GAA players and that. So there's corruption everywhere, I understand.
Yeah, but
that.
Not to the extent that you would have in those countries where a cop would stop you at the side of the road for speeding and say, listen, I'm going to give you a ticket unless you give me 50 quid or I'll beat you up.
Oh, yeah, there is corruption everywhere, you know.
It takes them a week to get that in their way.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was in Mexico, and they have security firms that are better armed and more established than police firms.
Yeah.
Like, you stay in hotels over there, and you're driving in the gate, and there's two fellas with machine guns at the gate when you're checking in, like.
Yeah, well, you're talking about Mexico, in fairness. You know what goes? Everybody is armed over there, so at the end of the day...
Mexico.
Oh, sorry, what'd you say, Darren?
I said, everybody go to Mexico because everyone has a weapon in Mexico.
Darren, is there something wrong with you?
I think he took something from Mexico.
I think he did. Sorry, we have Ramonas back. His epiphany. Right, Ramonas, you were going to say, you think, what, go on.
Yes, I think we should create sporting activities for our police forces.
Right, so create a football team for them and stuff
football
like that.
Football team, they can play inter-counties, they can play friendly matches with civilians, with people, with schools, which is going to,
I think they do. I think the community guards do that already. I think they do.
And because in the real sense, if they are fit, they should be changed. We need fit police. People to secure us.
Yeah, so, I think they do, particularly with kids in disadvantaged areas and stuff like that. I think they do, they play football against them. But, okay, if a guard, or as we call him, a guard, a police officer, is continually not fit and failing the test, you believe he should be just bye-bye?
Not suitable for the purpose, sir.
Yeah, not suitable for the purpose. There you go, Peter, not suitable for the purpose.
And I think we still have young ones that can be trained to be police. Why do we keep keeping them there if they're not suitable?
But see, the problem is, Ramonas, the problem is we can't get people to join the guards.
We should find out why.
Because it's a combination of a lot of factors. I think a lot of people are just not willing to risk their lives anymore.
Finances and fear. That's the thing.
Fear is probably the biggest thing, yeah.
Fear and finance.
Ramonas, would you be a cop?
Of course.
I wouldn't.
I would be a cop if I think it's... Because we need to create... The problem is we're not creating situations where everybody, even the cops, should be safe. Cops are not safe just as civilians are not safe. That's why everybody is scared. But if we provide means that you have to know that a cop is also a human being, he needs to be protected, and a civilian needs to be protected, we come 50-50, it will be understood. Why other cops in other countries are doing what they're not scared?
Yeah, but as I did mention, in fairness to the Irish cops, in relation to corruption, yes, we do have some levels of corruption, but nothing compared to other countries. And I'm pretty sure, you know, coming from Cameroon, you've seen a lot of corruption in the police force.
The worst, that is, as I'm talking now, there's war in my country, in Cameroon, as I'm talking, for the past 3 years.
And what, if you were driving a car in Cameroon, right, and you were stopped by the police, say, for speeding or something like that, I don't even know whether you would be stopped for speeding, but you were just stopped. Like, could you pay your way out of it? Could you give them a few, you know?
Instantly. When they stop you and ask for your driver's license, you don't give them an empty drive. Give them with some money there. Otherwise, right, there must be allegation of anything, a motive of something.
So what? They'll say you were carrying drugs or something like that. They'll say anything.
Maybe your tires are worn. You don't have fire extinguisher in your car. You don't have first aid. They will name all things as if your car is supposed to be traveling with a hospital in your car. They always have a motive.
So they'll make up something.
Once you are stopped, you must dip your hand in your pocket.
How much would you give them?
You will give them anything they have. They don't care. So far as you give them something. Because sometimes they might ask you a man that you don't have, but whatever you have, even if it is your last coin in your pocket, they will get them.
And why is that? Are they badly paid?
They are not badly paid, but it's just that the system of which it is a dictator system, that everywhere you are a boss. So you can take decision and do what you like. Unlike here, it's not like that.
And I'm assuming the police in Cameroon are armed. They have guns.
They have every. They even have private ones at home.
And are they trigger happy? Will they shoot a lot of people?
They won't shoot a lot of people as of such. But what would be the point of you having a government and you having a private one at home? So what is the motive behind it?
Mm-hmm.
So
right, okay. I wouldn't like to be living there.
No,
it's not a safe place to be growing up, really, is it?
It's out of life.
Yeah. I bet you're glad you're not still there, let me tell you. Because I don't think I'd like that, driving down the road. Some lad pulls you in and you have to give him 50 quid before he does, he shoots you.
Now, do me a favor before I go. This is my first time to be on air on the radio with you. I want to use this to say a word, to make the world know that my country is burning. There's a serious genocide in Cameroon right now, as we're talking, for the past 3 years. And we have been trying to make the world to be aware of it. So, literally, Cameroon is colonized by the British and the French.
The French, yes, of course.
And the French, as you know, they are sucking all the bit of blood they can suck all over the world. So, the French now, they are the ones now that are killing us, they're killing the English-speaking Cameroonians right now. So we want the world to know that there's a serious genocide in Cameroon and they should do something. Just recently, the president of Cameroon, La République du Cameroun, Paul Biya, just called for a monologue. We call it monologue because you cannot be having an armed conflict and you call for an inclusive dialogue and the prisoners...
Mm-hmm. Have I lost you again? Are you there, Ramonis? Yeah. Oh, we've lost him again, I think. Are you gone? Hello, Ramonis? Okay, I think we've lost him again for some reason. We'll get him back on, because I just find that interesting. Sorry, Kevin, you're on Classic Kids. How are you, Kevin?
Hi, how are you, Niall? No, it's just regarding the Gardaí. Definitely probationers should have to do fitness tests. Mm-hmm. They should pass them. But bear in mind, the fitness test is higher than any of the UK forces. And in fact, Northern Ireland don't do that bleep test. They do all other types of tests, all right. But the bleep test, being able to have to run for 30 minutes non-stop, they've done away with that.
They're kind of softening it, really, aren't they? They're softening, you know, the requirements to be a guard.
Absolutely. But the whole recruitment process has reduced to that. you're gone from being having to be 6 foot to having to have your leaving cert completely down a bit. They're taking in smaller men, which are as good.
And women, smaller women as well, yeah.
Smaller women, which are as good. You can imagine the good peace officers that never got in there.
Yeah.
Because of it.
Well, I remember, now, I did not that I wanted to join myself, but I remember looking at it like most lads of my age, when, you know, way back in the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we hadn't hope because you had to be 5'10" or whatever it was to get in.
Absolutely. And you had to be fluent in Irish.
But, yeah, that's right.
But by all means, but as guards get older and they get 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years service, then that fitness test should be reduced to the
standard. Of course, yeah, but the qualifying should be suitable for their age, yeah. Of course, yeah, absolutely.
So it shouldn't be the highest qualification, it should be a base level. And once you acquire that.
But there's a lot of guards out there, and you know as well as I do, would probably fail that base level.
Yeah, but bear in mind, in Sweden, they did a test like that. The idea was you had a 55-year-old policeman and you had a 30-year-old policeman.
Mm-hmm.
For the same task, the 55-year-old policeman might have been slower, but he was more confident because of his experiences. So there's no point in being able to run in a straight line as a guard and catch somebody if you can take a shortcut and catch him around the corner through experience.
Yeah, of course,
So experience has to be allowed for something as well.
All right, well, let me just go back to, just before I finish this up, back to Ramona, sorry, because I'm about to lose him twice now. Ramona, see you back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, good. Fill me in, because I wouldn't be au fait with the history in relation to Cameroon. Now, Cameroon, its population would be what? Majority Christian, small percentage, 20% maybe Muslim. The official language of Cameroon, French and English. So you're saying English-speaking people are being slaughtered?
They are being slaughtered. There's a serious genocide. Cameroon, the population of Cameroon should be approximately 26 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the southern Cameroon, we call ourselves now Ambazonians because we had independence. We were a different. We were our own state before we went to join La République de Cameroun in 1961. Went after their independence, and since that time we went for an equal status.
This is under President Amadeo or whatever his name was at the time.
Yes.
Yes.
So, but it didn't work out. And all we had was the marginalization. So up to now, our law system is different from theirs. But all this time, all for about 56 years now, we have been suppressed.
And why did they? Maybe you know this. Why did they change the name? It used to be the Republic of Cameroon, and then they changed it to the United Republic of Cameroon in around the 70s. Why was that changed?
That was when they came to when they realized our potentials, and they came to deceive us that we are united, we should be one, and then we accepted just because we knew that we came into terms that we'll be two equal states.
Okay.
Yeah, that is why we went in, but it has never happened up till now that I'm saying you. I'm saying to you, since I was born, I've never seen a different president. Same this president. I was born in 1972. You can imagine that.
For people listening, is the president not elected by the people? No.
Never. He always wins. He changed his constitution many times and finally changed it that he will rule for life.
Okay, so he's in the job until he dies, essentially.
Yeah, that's it. And even the election, anything elected, he has to win. If he doesn't win, people must die. And he has to win.
Is the war, you're talking about English-speaking people being killed and genocide, is the war religious?
It is war-related.
It is religious.
Yes, what happened was, we have the civil system of law, and they have the other system. So with us, when we have problems, our poor people, our old parents, they don't understand French. In our schools, they bring French teachers to teach us. And the French teachers themselves, they don't understand English. In our laws, in our court, they bring French lawyers to judge us. Our parents don't understand French, and the lawyer doesn't even fucking understand the English. Sorry for my language.
That's okay. No, I understand what you're saying.
That is quite frustrating. And so you are always, we the English speaking, we are always behind the bars. If you go out on the street, which is your right, to complain, to strike, you have been killed or thrown in the behind the bars without judgment for years. People are languishing inside the jail. People are dying. People are being disappeared. You don't know where they are, you know.
So and have you, I mean, Ramonas, have you had members of your family killed?
Yes, my wife, as I'm speaking now, my wife just died in last August. I went home. I have been out of the country since 1996 because of all this nonsense. And so I have been always outside. I have children here and there. And finally, my mother died. I couldn't go home. My father died. I couldn't go home. My junior brother following me behind.
When you say they died, they were killed?
They were killed. My wife, when I married her in December 2017. And then I left her. I came back to apply for her visa. I left her pregnant. I was there just for 3 weeks. I left her pregnant. While I'm waiting for her pregnant, for her visa, she was having maternity bed and went in August, went to the hospital. No attendance because all the doctors have escaped. The soldiers, they are going to the hospital, killing the nurses, killing the doctors, according to them, because when they start beating us, our people, burning our houses, our villages, our youth, they start fighting themselves. They start protecting themselves and their parents. So now, all these people, the soldiers, they will come and kill all the nurses, the doctors. Even the United States ambassador was killed in Cameroon.
I am reading here, by the way, the politicians in the English-speaking regions have advocated for greater decentralization and even complete separation or independence as the Southern Cameroon's National Council from Cameroon. And in 2017, tensions in the English-speaking territories escalated into open warfare.
Yes. Why it has always been the case, Niall. When things are not going well, the people, the civilians, they have the right to air out. They only went out on the street with peace plans on their hands, the teachers and the lawyer, asking for a complete reform. We cannot understand French teachers teaching us in our schools. We cannot go to polytechnics in all the big universities. We cannot future them with the English speaking people. So when they went on the street to do that, all the poor bear did was to send his military people on the street to kill people, kill the university students, rape them, maim them, molest them, call it all. Went to our villages, burn our own parents that they cannot run and enter the bush, burn them inside their houses. So that is what we have been living now for the last 3 years, just because they asked for the government to try and see how can things can work for us as well.
But but realistically, Ramonas, what, I mean, forget about Ireland because we're a small country, we don't have a huge impact anyway, but what can the world do about this crisis and this guy Paul Biya, who is responsible since 1982, what can they do to help, you know, to stop this from happening? This is an internal problem. What can they do?
Number one, it's not internal because we have refugees all over. Once a problem is it's happening in the country and crosses the borders. When the citizens start crossing the borders...
Well, into Nigeria and into Chad and into... Yeah.
It's no more an internal problem. That is the world problem now. Because these refugees are coming to... That's why we are here. And every day I hear on the radio, Irish people, they have the right to say all what they can say to us. Because until it meets you, you will not know the situation. You know, all this is happening. Our people are dying in Mexico, in Brazil, in all the waters, and Italy, and everywhere. So they should call Paul Biya into books. And now, because we ask for them to reform our educational system and our civil court system, they refuse. They start killing our people. Because we have lost that much, a lot of people, we now decided now that we want them to. We want to go to the table and discuss the main problem of how we started and how we came together. So that is why we start saying, okay, we are going back. We want independence. We don't more want any reform, because when we were asking for reforms, nobody died. But now they only got up and replied us by killing our people, raping our students, raping our mothers, doing all of us, burning our villages. So now we want to go back to what we were before, joining them.
All right. Well, look, I think if a lot of people were listening to you there, I don't know what difference it makes, and I wish, you know, I wish you well, and I would like to see the world do more to internally help problems in these countries, so people don't have to travel all over the world. I'm pretty sure that you, Ramonas, would much prefer to live in your own country if it was peaceful.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, it's not. And as you were talking there, I'm kind of reading a lot about it, and some of it is outrage. I mean, I'm sure we've all heard, of course, of Boko Haram, and many people, we've spoke about Boko Haram on the air before, in relation to the atrocities carried out by these individuals. You know,
all those Boko Harams and all those bad people are due to the dictatorship, the bad governance of the president of Africa, including France, is the one who is encouraging all those things, because we were colonized and now we're independent, then we should be left alone. France is just the one creating problem in all the African countries in Africa. You cannot say people are independent, then you are still behind them. You are making their money, you are controlling their everything. How are they independent? So the world should call President Phobia with his France on table for genocide.
Right, well, it certainly seems he's responsible for it. Anyway, that's for sure. Listen, Ramonas, it was nice talking to you. All right, and I'm glad to give you that moment to give you a voice and give you a bit of air time to say what you want to say. All right.
Thank you very much, Nice. Thank you very much.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic.